All right, guys, we're going to jump into tonight's teaching. We have an awesome one. You guys saw it if you're on, looked at your notes already. We're learning about hearing the voice of God.
You guys are like, are you sleepy because of the rain? Are you good? I see we're missing about a fourth of our class. It surely is the rain. Everybody good? Are we okay? Okay. Keisha, we good? We're good. I feel like I'm seeing some of you guys. I get to see like two or three times a week now with Encounter and Grow, and it's just wonderful. So how many of you are in Encounter right now? You guys enjoying Encounter? Yes. Pretty cool, huh? So just to reemphasize a couple of things real fast. So I want you to know we're not giving you guys all this homework just because like there's nothing else we all have to do during the week, right? I mean, we're all busy. I just want you to know if you trust this process, you will grow. Those scriptures, I was reminded of that scripture. It says that I hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him. There is something very intangible we can't see that happens when we read and plant the word into our memory. Somehow, I guess it leaks down into our heart. And then when we're approached with situations where we sin or not to sin or to lose our temper or not, that hiding his word in your memory goes into the heart, which enables you to not fall into the temptation. So I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Nobody wants to sin against God. And one of the greatest ways to not do that is to absorb his word with applying soap, but also memorizing his word. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. You'll start talking to people about what God is doing, and the scriptures, they just begin to fly out when you memorize them. It's wonderful. It's cool, and it's life-changing for the listener, all right? So just want to encourage you guys. You can't let Pam do that again to you. Cannot let her do that. And we have a short Bible memory verse this week, so no excuses. No excuses at all. All right, we're going to get into a teaching tonight that this topic came up so many times. Can you guys hear me okay? I'm not nearly as loud as Pastor Stephen. This topic came up so many times in the past week that I felt like we probably needed to tackle it tonight. And you'll see in your notes why. It's the topic of how to know and understand the voice of God. I bet you, I'm thinking of all the years of ministry, I would have to say this is one of the top 10 questions I've ever received. Is for people want to know, how do you hear God? How did you know he said that? How did you know that? How do you know that's really God speaking and not your own brain? How do you know that's really the Holy Spirit and not your emotions, right? So what we're going to do tonight is to get to dig and apply soap, and you guys are going to help find the answers to a lot of these questions. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be revelatory, and I really believe it's going to help you guys leave here tonight, everyone, young Christian, older Christian, being more sharpened in your ability to know and discern God's voice, all right? So what we're going to do is get jump right into it. I do believe that the problem that we have is not necessarily praying. I think pretty much 100% of you pray in here, at least at some level. I do believe that. But in the same way, there are two ways of there are two key parts of communication. What are the two key parts of communication? Anyone want to take a stab at that? What? Sally? So the speaker, right? And then receiving and listening, okay? So communication requires someone's got to do the talking and someone else has got to do the listening. But what a lot of Christians do is we do the talking and we forget the other side of prayer, is what I call it, and that's listening. And I am so guilty of this still to this day. I'm a big talker anyway, as if you guys don't know that already. And so I can talk and talk to God. I really love worship. I love worship because I feel him so quickly, and I just love feeling the presence of the Lord. I can go for an hour before I know it just in worship, and I'm like, oh gosh, I've got somewhere I've got to be, because I love worship. I love reading the word, but I am not the best at being still and listening to God. And listening up to God in those quiet moments when I know he can speak to me. So I want all of us in here tonight to be challenged to not be satisfied with just talking to God. And gosh, I hate to say it like this, but hear my heart. But even just spending time in worship to God. there's something super important we've got to master here. If we're going to have a good relationship with God, every good relationship has to have good communication. And communication requires a message being spoken and received and heard and listened to and applied by the listener. Okay? So we're going to learn how to do that. We're going to get started with this, though. This is a rhetorical question, but it's really not, because not everybody, I don't know if believes the answer is true or not. But I'm going to ask you, does God really talk to us today? Yes, he does. Okay? So I obviously answer yes, but there are some Christians who really don't know that they believe that. So I want to make sure everyone in here, we start at the basic, right? We're going to start down here at the bottom. Yes, God still speaks to us today. Check out these incredible scriptures. In fact, if you have your Bibles, who wants to turn to John 10:27? Somebody find John 10:27? Got it. Renee, read it. Wow. Mine says, my sheep hear. Her says, my sheep listen to. Anybody else have a different translation? What do we gather? What conclusion do we draw from that scripture alone? Give me some conclusions. Jesus says, my sheep hear or listen to my voice. And then he says, I know them. We could teach a whole sermon on this. And they follow me. Absolutely, relationship is involved there. What is it, Pam? A lot of speaking is happening, definitely. How much is happening? They what? Second part. They know and follow me. So what does that show has been built over time? Trust. Okay. So I've talked to a lot of you, but I can't say that I would trust it just any Tom, Dick, or Harry or someone I talk to with, like, you know, managing my bank account, right? And I'd say that'd be silly, but Jesus is referring to the kind of conversation that is apparently happening so frequently that they not only hear but listen to his voice. He knows them, and they easily follow him. That is an incredibly close, healthy relationship. Do you see that? Now stop. Think about your relationship with God right now. Do you hear his voice? Do you feel like that kind of knowing and comfort level with the Lord right now? And are you following what you know to do that he has already said to you? Yes, and we're going to get all, he's got to preach it for me. He's going to get in there. Yes, absolutely he will. Look at the next one, Jeremiah 33:3. I think every time I preach, I say this one. But boy, I love it. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know. You don't distinguish or recognize it or have the knowledge of it or understand it yet. What do you have to do to find out what those things are behind the fence? Ask him, call to him, right? And he will show us what kind of things? Great and mighty things, okay? Do you see how powerful this is? God wants to speak to us. God's word makes it crystal clear that he wants to talk to you. Do you understand that? He wants to talk to you. Isaiah 30:21 says, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way over here. Walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. What kind of assurance does that give you as a Christ follower? What kind of a scripture is that? What kind of conversation is happening? What kind of advice is being given? Yes, who said that? Good job, directional. So you know those moments when we're talking to everybody else on Facebook about what we've got going on and we don't know what God, what we're supposed to do? What does he say? And what does God want to do for you? He wants you to be able to hear what he's saying. He says you'll hear him say behind you, this is the way. Over here. Now walk in it. It's exciting when you hear God saying, over here. I've seen so many Christians hear God say, over here, and they get excited and get up to that point, and then they don't go and follow. I have seen that. That is so discouraging. Don't be that Christian. But my point in these three scriptures is God speaks to us as his children. Bottom line. That's three of I could have found hundreds. Can't do that. Don't have enough time. So if God really speaks to us, why don't more Christians hear from God? Now, these are just three reasons off the top of my head that I've noticed, whether it's in a counseling session or just hearing people talk after a sermon or just people I've mentored and discipled. Number one, why don't more Christians hear from God? I've noticed many Christians don't actually talk to God as much as they think they do. Instead, they're quick to talk to others about him and about their problems. Therefore, no message is ever sent to God on their behalf. They accidentally mistake and confuse talking about what they need to talk to God about with talking to God about it. And I'm super serious. You got to watch that. Talking about how you need to talk to God about it isn't prayer. Talking to God about the problem is prayer. Talking to him, sending him that message so he hears it and he can reply. Number two, I believe another reason that Christians don't hear from God is other Christians are great at talking to God about all kinds of things. Wonderful, by the way. Especially the problems. Especially we new Christians, huh? Boy, I think I did that a lot. However, they don't stop and listen to what he may have to say in response to their requests and complaints. They don't take the time to listen to see what he says in response. I've had some prayer time where I think I prayed and talked to him for probably just a long time. And then I looked down at my clock. I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get ready for work. And I just up, dart, and go. Like I asked him for I probably prayed for 15 people. I probably asked him for at least 20 different things that I needed. And I didn't stop for 1 second and hear what he may want to say back to me about any of those situations. Because I got to go. All right? Guilty. Guilty as charged. Number three, I believe another reason why more Christians don't hear from God is that there are then some who talk to God all the time and even try to listen to his voice. However, they incorrectly interpret what he is saying, which gets them into some potential problems and sticky situations. I had one person, I kid you not, I was just thinking about this the other day. I mean, the guy was so good to her. There was no biblical grounds for divorce whatsoever. Whatsoever. She was wanting to get back with her other husband, who was now married to someone else, but just really felt the Lord telling her that it was not the will of God for her to be married to him anymore. She's really wondered if really needs to go back to this situation. And I'm in the counseling just looking, just like scratching my head, thinking, now this is a Christ follower who's gone to the church for years. And I'm thinking, whoa, go to church, like knows the Lord, but is not interpreting what God is saying correctly. Wrong voice, okay? Now, I say that, but I think 100% of us have been in a situation where we've accidentally done that at least once. Jolene. With the Lord? Yeah. You want to know what I did once? Oh my gosh, I'm going to admit this. It's grow too. You guys can handle this side of me. Okay, so I was a strong Christian, and the Lord spoke to me. I was in a relationship with a guy, and Christian guy, I mean handsome, good-looking guy, called to ministry. We were in ministry together here at this church, and it was not Alpha Vanderlust. And I get all hot. Because I'm convicted. Because listen to what I did. I was a newer Christian. I was praying. I felt something all of a sudden didn't feel right between us. There was no longer like, there was an absence of peace is the only way I can explain it. It just felt wrong in here. And we weren't even in sin. Like, we were a godly relationship now at that point. And, like, I didn't understand. So I remember I was in high school. I was older in high school. And I was in English class, Miss Weathers' class. And I felt the Lord. We had extra time. And I opened up my Bible. And I could feel the Holy Spirit speaking to me in that class. And I was, like, sweating. And I felt like the Lord said, you are not to marry so-and-so. It was just a still little quiet thing in my chest. And I went, I felt sick. I opened my Bible and I'm like trembling, like tears, because I cared about the guy. And I'm like flipping through my Bible. I said, okay, God, if this is really you, I'm a brand new Christian. God, if this is really you, please speak to me. And I go like this and I point and guess what it fell on? Hebrews, where it says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts like you did in the days of your rebellion. I kid you not, I can't make up something that good. I still remember closing my Bible and running to the bathroom crying. But guess what I did? I stayed with him. Rayla knows. She was there. And I stayed with him for like 4 more years. Of going back and forth with God. I broke up with that guy so many times. We're finally, the last time he looked at me, he said, if you ever do this to me again, like, you're going to put me in the nut house. Like, I was just driving the guy crazy because I wanted to follow God's voice. But my flesh didn't. And I think that is a lot of reasons why maybe we are hearing from God more than we realize, but we're not obeying God. Because to serve him as Lord, following Jesus as Savior is easy. Serving him as Lord is a whole other ballgame. That means he's boss. That means I die to my flesh. That means I obey. That means I'm willing to do what it costs to follow. And I just want to encourage you guys that when I teach on this topic tonight, it comes from years of doing it wrong to where now I'm very passionate at helping encourage Christians to understand God's voice and obey immediately. Because the consequences that I faced were horrific. Got engaged to him. I mean, it was bad. Broke his heart. It was horrible, horrible situation. And I still remember the day I met Alvin. He came as an intern, and I remember I shook his hand. I was working up at the front, and I shook Pastor Alvin's hand, and I felt the Holy Spirit immediately speak to me and say, this is the one. This is why I told you years ago to not be with so-and-so, and now look. And it was like, man, I tell you guys what, I don't have time tonight. It was like a horrific ending to a story that should have never happened had I obeyed the Lord. And what did I miss out on? What else? What did God have for me during those years that I didn't get to experience or enjoy maybe because I was in disobedience? I'll tell you what I missed out on. Peace. I was in 4 years of disobedience, and the Bible says when you're in disobedience to God and you don't hearken his voice, Hebrews does say you will not enter his rest. So guess what Pastor Talia did? I tried to manipulate God and convince him that my plan was better for years. So I have earned the right to teach this message tonight. Okay. Where in the world, help me, Lord? They incorrectly interpret what he's saying, and then they get into some potential problems and sticky situations. That's the story of my past, okay? So let's learn how to avoid that. Can we do that tonight? What we want to do is we want to learn how God speaks to us. How does he speak? And then we're going to learn what to do after he speaks, because that's what I obviously did wrong. So listen to this quote by Joyce Meyer. She said, God declares that he speaks. And when he does, he speaks in righteousness. We can always depend on what he says to be right. Isn't that good? Because he speaks nothing but righteousness in truth and with love. So here's the guarantee tonight you can take to the bank. When you have discovered how to know God is speaking,
how he speaks. You can guarantee and build your life on the fact that what he said he will do, and he's going to make it good. Because he only speaks in righteousness. Wow. So here's what we're going to do tonight. I know we're down a little bit. People got scared of the rain. All right. So what we're going to do tonight, how many tables do I have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So what we're going to do, I hate to bust up some of you fuller tables, but I got to tonight. I just said got to. Tiffany Snyder's all in the room. So what I need you guys to do is I need us to even out a little bit. So like the ones that have one or two or three, can you look around and make sure that we're getting in? I need 10 tables full on the, or like, you know, separated. Do I need help? Are you guys good? Oh, seriously. I have to have you guys at tables or else we can't do it. I need more than maybe like right here. If we get a couple people to sit right here and maybe one more person to go right there, I think we'll be good. I need 10 tables. I need 10. There we go. Pam, Sarah, if you guys could go right here with him, that would be perfect. And Jeff, that would be fantastic. And then if we could get one more person to go right over here, that would be wonderful. Even if it's one of our leaders. All right. There we go. I'm sorry. You're going to understand why in a second. Okay. So here is the assignment. Guess what? Guess what we're going to do? Guess what we're going to do? Because you guys are getting all good at this Bible interpretation stuff. You guys are going to help teach the class tonight. All right? Now, here's how we're going to do it. Stephanie's going to do what? All right, so here's how we're going to do this. We are going to look at 10 ways God speaks. I gave it 10. They're the 10 main ones, okay? We're not going to get in a debate tonight if there's 11 or 20, okay? We're going to study 10 tonight. But each of you are going to be given a passage of Scripture. Do you see your notes tonight? Do you notice there are lots of empty lines? I didn't want to give you one clue as to the answer. So you don't even get fill in the blanks. You just get a big old blank, okay? The reason is I got to keep stretching you. We got to keep making sure you're interpreting Scripture correctly. So here is the assignment. Starting with this table right over here, Stephanie, Pam, you guys over here. I want you guys to take number one. Hold on, wait a minute. That's a super duper. Let me see here. Yes, you guys can handle it. 2 Kings 22. Here's the assignment. Listen. Look at your notes. I'm going to give all of you your passage. Here are the questions. Read it, the passage of Scripture assigned to you, and answer the following questions together as a group. Nobody sitting there doing nothing. All of you guys work together. Number one, who did God speak to in the passage? Number two, how did God speak to the individual or the individuals? Number three, what was their response to what he said? Number four, how does God use that specific method to speak to us today? And finally, number five, what can interfere with our ability to hear God when he uses that method? Only that method. You focus on your method. Now, you got to get the method right. So it's probably pretty important that when you get it, raise your hand and let Courtney and I and Jeremiah, like, let us walk around and make sure you got it right. Or else the rest of your thing will be wrong. And you guys are going to teach the class what you have found out about how God speaks in that way. Starting with Pam, Stephanie, Laura, you guys have 2 Kings 22. Get started. Let's go right here to Jeff and Pam Mask. I want you guys to take Exodus 34, 5 to 7. Howard's back here. 1 Kings 12, number 3. 1 Kings 12, 6 to 19, and 1 Samuel 9, 6 to 8. You guys got it? You guys have it back there, David? Pat, you got it? All right, number 4 right here, Acts 13, 1 to 3, and Acts 16. You have two. Back here, we've got Acts 15, 22 to 35. 15, 22 to 35. Let's come up here, Mary and Renee, you guys. Genesis 47, 13 to 27. back here, Gina, you guys do Acts 12, 5 to 17, number 7. Number 8, Keisha, you guys, Brian, Genesis 37, 5 to 11. Jolene, back there, you guys go ahead and do it too. Acts 10, 1 to 22. And then Jeremiah, 1 Samuel 3, 2 to 14. You guys got it? Questions are on your notes, on your mark. Get set, go. You guys have about 10 to 15 minutes. 15 minutes probably. It's going to take you. All right?
A place my eyes can't. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. And your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome.
All right. How are we doing? We ready? All right. I'll pick up where you leave off. If you don't get it all, it's okay. And know this, you don't have to say it like I say it and how I'm going to say it. I want to make sure you're getting the main idea of what of the method. I want to make sure you're getting and grasping how God speaks to us. Let's start with group number one right over here. I'm going to walk around with my notebook and my mic because we record these, and some people who are missing are not hearing all of your wonderful conversations. So you are going to have to talk into the mic. Oh, Pam. Pam got chosen again. All right, Pam, go ahead and answer these, and everyone give us your undivided attention right over here. Make sure once I say yes, it's right, then you can write it down in your notes, okay? All right, Pam, go ahead.
So our first question was, who did God speak to in this passage? And he was speaking to King Hosea through the prophetess Huldah. How do you say that?
Huldah.
Okay, and it says, how did God speak to the individual? And in this case, they found the book of the law, and they brought it to King Hosea, and I guess it had been lost, and he read it, and when he read it, he went into mourning and tore his clothes because he realized they had not been living the way they were supposed to be living. And what was his response? In his case, he actually summoned his priest and sent him to the prophetess because he wanted to know what God said to him in response to finding the book of the law, and obviously he was upset about it. And the prophecy, how did God use that specific method to speak to us today?
How does he use that?
The same way, because for
So what method did God use to speak to Josiah? What did he use to show them what was right and what was wrong? It's very simple. Don't try to strain at this too hard, you guys. You're missing the forest through the trees. What does he find?
He found the book of the law.
The book of the law. So the way God speaks to us today is what?
Through the Bible.
Through the Bible. All right, go ahead.
Okay.
So how do we use that today?
The same way. We take our Bible, we read it, we study it. Everything we need to know to live right is right there in that book.
Very good. What can interfere with our ability to hear God?
Oh, there was a long list. Distractions, just lifestyle distractions, inability to understand what you're reading, don't understand their customs, lifestyles, and traditions for that time. Sometimes I think that gets in our way. Just even trying to pronounce some of these names sometimes I think is very...
intimidating?
It is.
Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So give her a hand. That, guys...
That was kind of tricky because the prophecy could throw you off.
Yes. So King Josiah is a young king, and they go to refurbish and renovate the temple, and when they do so, they find the book of the law. It's been missing for so long that when they find it, they're like, King Josiah, we found this book. This book. They don't even know what it is. What does that tell you about the people's behavior by that point? Pretty wicked. So when King Josiah has the priest or the prophetess read it, he tears his clothes in repentance and agony and brokenness. Okay? And that is one of the ways God speaks. In fact, let me say this. Look in your notes and you'll see a big bold section at the very bottom of this section. Do you see those big, bold words on the next page? I want to fill those in for you real quick, where it says important to remember. It ties into this number one perfectly. I'm going to go ahead and go to it. When God speaks, what he says today will never contradict or disagree with his written word. What you hear from the Lord can never contradict or go against what God has already said in the written word of God. If someone comes to you and says, thus saith the Lord, you can just go and blah, 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 and you know the word of God teaches opposite of that, you can guarantee that it's not the voice of God that they're listening to, nor should you. So that's just a really good litmus test, okay, as to whether the voice you're hearing is God or not. Let's do table number two. Who's going to do it? Oh, pardon me, David.
So we said that God is speaking to Moses in this passage, Exodus 34, 5 through 7. And God spoke to Moses through revealing his character.
Yes. Good.
We had some help too, but. And his response was humble worship And we thought that he was petitioning for the others and asking for forgiveness through that. And let's see. He uses this method to, you know, today for us when we read his word. And we also thought relationships with other Christians, too, kind of reveal his character through how other Christians treat us or how we might treat other Christians. If we have the character of God, then we can kind of see it from that angle. And what can interfere with that would be preconceived ideas or thoughts of maybe who we thought God was before, or bad or wrongful experiences with people who claim to be Christian or think one way or the other and might not.
Okay, so why is this one so important? I feel like this is a very important one as well. They're all important. But if you don't know and understand the character of God, if you have a wrong foundational view of who God really is, you're liable to believe just about anything. You will believe a lie on accident, right? And so when you're trying to discern the voice of God over something you did wrong and you're trying to hear God of how to get that right, and all you hear is condemnation, voices of condemnation, and you're never going to get over this, and I'm so mad at you. I'm telling you guys, Christians hear stuff like that. When they're going to God and trying to repent and make it right, the voice of the enemy will come in and disguised as an angel of light, the Bible says. He's good at doing that. And he'll give you a little bit of truth with a lot of lie, or a lot of lie with a little truth, just to get you to bite on it. And those kind of thoughts go against the very character and nature of God. So I'm trying to help you see, when a voice comes into your heart and your mind that is judgmental and critical about you, makes you feel ashamed, like you want to run away from God, that goes against the very character of God. That shows me you don't know the true character and nature of God. Now, does God love sin? Absolutely not. But is his love, does he not use kindness to draw us to repentance? Yes, he does. Okay? Very good job. Very good job. Who's number three?
We know why you picked three for us. It's about your elders.
Well, number three, he was talking to King Rehoboam. Okay, that is Solomon's son.
Yes, it was Solomon's son.
And he's speaking through others, mainly the elders.
Who was King? Now, listen, this is important. So King Rehoboam is King Solomon's son who took over the throne after Solomon. And he comes in and he needs some advice. And what are his two options? What'd you guys find out? He has two options of who to go to.
He went to his friends.
His friends or
his elders.
The elders. Spiritual leadership. What does he do?
He goes with his friends.
He goes with his friends, and what happens?
Takes the wrong advice.
Yes. And utter destruction comes. Okay? What's the next one?
Was the response? Oh, we got the response to what he said. He ignored their advice. And how does he use a method to speak us today? Well, we said God sends others to speak in confirmation to what we are trying to find out. And I said one of the things that I remember is Charlotte Krennic. Mm-hmm. She always had a word, confirmation, and she was a very strong Christian that would hear the word of God.
Yes. So let's define others real quick. Others is not just anyone. Others are people you trust and know are living the Christian life and are close to the Lord, are knowledgeable of the Lord and his ways. I use the term guidance and counsel from Christian leadership. It doesn't have to be a pastor or staff member. It could be a Dream Team coach. It could be a Charlotte Krennic, who we know is like Jesus' sister, that heard God all the time, right? Very good job. Anything else?
And what keeps us from interfering our ability to listen to God is our own stubbornness and self-willingness.
Yes. Very good. Very good. I can't tell you how many people we've had. Oh, my goodness. And I bet a lot of you would say the same in here, Lonnie, some of you others who've been in just church for a while, where you'll have people come ask you for godly advice, and you give it to them straight up, like out of the word, and then to watch them use it and see them be spared unnecessary wasted pain because of it is a wonderful feeling. But then you also see them not take it sometimes. and see the effects of it. And so God does use spiritual leadership to help guide you and speak to you. Who's number four? Number four. Who's speaking? Lonnie? Here, speak in here for the recording.
Let's see, who did God speak to in the passage? Well, in, we had two different passages. In one, he spoke with Barnabas and Saul before they traveled, and it asked who he, how did God speak to the individuals? Well, he spoke through his Holy Spirit and through others that were praying for them and, of course, laying hands on them. And then what was their response to what he said? That was where sort of the problem came in, because they, I think they had a sort of a preconceived notion of what God, I know they wanted to do what God wanted them to do, but they thought they were supposed to go to one place. And I think God, in sort of both circumstances, one in more so than the other, but God sort of put barriers up where they could not, they just couldn't travel. I mean, in one of them, in chapter 16, it basically just says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word to the province of Asia. So I'm not sure what that looked like completely, but I know they probably didn't make it to where they were supposed to be preaching the word. And maybe, you know, if they had of, who knows what would have actually been preached. Maybe God had a different message for them. I know in one place he did, in chapter 13 of Acts, because it goes on to say that they were they came across this guy, and they had to, they basically, I think they, how does it say it here? You're going to the blind, you're going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. And then immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And then it just goes to, I guess it just goes back to, those guys were trying to do their own thing to a certain extent, and the Holy Spirit had to interfere and change the way they were thinking about it. Some of the areas, how does God use specific methods to speak to us? Well, certainly that really quiet voice. I mean, with them, they may have had specific roadblocks, but sometimes we have to listen quietly to hear. I can't help but believe they were all in prayer. And then finally, through fasting, these guys, before it says they went off on one, they were fasting and praying. Well, again, were they fasting and praying for the right things? Sometimes we sort of get distracted, and we may be fasting and praying for the wrong things. And finally, what can interfere with our ability to hear God when he uses this method? Man, I think Paul may have had some stubbornness. To a certain extent in him. I mean, he went through so much, from killing Christians to becoming a Christian to, and then he's thinking, God, you're telling me one thing, but you're putting up roadblocks. What is going on? And then and Timothy's probably with him going, but, you know, you're old and wise. Why don't you help me with this? But anyway, and then finally pride and anger get in the way sometimes. So. That's
good. Yes, so I wrote down observing the activity of God. So basically, just to recap on that, they're trying to go someplace where he wants to go. Paul wants to go. Paul's determined. Good idea, good mission, but the Holy Spirit would never give him peace or open the door for him. Okay? So here's the deal. Sometimes you're praying and trying to hear God, and his answer to you is an absence of activity. Uh-huh. He ain't moving over there. And that is the answer for you. So when I'm praying and I was believing God to show me, I wanted to go back to college. And I'm telling you, there was no activity there during that time. My husband wasn't supportive of it. I didn't have the finances to not work. And it was just the absence of open doors, the absence of the activity of God was the answer. And then like 2 years later, all of a sudden Alvin was like, you know what, babe, I think you need to go back to college and finish your degree. And there's activity now. Like there's activity movement. There's movement. Open doors started opening. I got to stay part-time here and still work and get paid and go to school, like, and finish my degree. So when there's the activity of the Holy Spirit there, that you need to really investigate that. When you see God moving, join him. But when you can't keep a dead horse alive when the Lord's ready for it to die, all right? So when there's an inactivity, when God's not moving in that, I don't care how much you fast, when there's no activity, you need to really check and see, is that's probably the Lord speaking to you and saying, don't do that anymore instead. All right, which one did you guys have? Okay, we're almost out of time. We're going to have to speak a little faster, but go ahead and go.
And I'm short, sweet, and to the point. It was the Gentiles is who they were, the pastors were spoken to. And it was, did I skip something? No. It was the peace of the Holy Spirit is what the message was. Yes. And they rejoiced at the delivered message. Basically, there had been some people coming and telling them that they were doing it wrong, and all they really had to do was what was good for the Holy Spirit, which was, I don't know, kind of a weird passage.
You felt like the Bible was weird?
No. It was just...
Newsflash, it's pretty weird.
It just kind of read weird with, it says, yours to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality, and you do well to avoid these things. And the people were glad, and they were encouraged by this message.
Read verse 28.
Do not partake in our culture.
It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements.
Yes, very good. Very, very good. So the peace of the Holy Spirit. What happens if we go against that today? What did you guys come up with?
We didn't get that far.
Oh, you didn't get that far.
All right. Let me give you guys a great scripture. It's my go-to scripture for God's will and God's voice. You ready? Ooh, the mic doesn't like that. Colossians 3:15 and 16 says this, and let the peace, that soul harmony which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. Listen, this is so good. To which as members of Christ's one body, you were all called to live. So in other words, the peace, following the peace of the Holy Spirit, you guys nailed it. Great job. When there's an absence of peace, it doesn't matter how noble or godly the mission might be. When there's no peace of the Holy Spirit, I will not budge. In fact, I was supposed to teach something else tonight that we had on the curriculum, and I couldn't get peace in my spirit about it. It was logical. It made sense. I know we're still going to teach it. But I couldn't get peace about it. I even had someone lined up to help teach with me, and the person had already worked for a while trying to help me teach it tonight. And I had to, like, go to them after they've studied for a week and say, I can't do it. Why couldn't I do it? I couldn't get the peace of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't fear. Now listen, I'm not saying when you're afraid to take a step of faith. I have found there's a major difference. Sorry, I'll look this way. There's a major difference. I'm going to look in this direction. When there, it doesn't matter how much I pray. There's a difference between I'm afraid, fear, and a lack of the peace of the Holy Spirit. I've had the peace of the Holy Spirit on the scariest daggone paths I've ever didn't want to tread upon. The peace of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean an absence of, like, I can't do this, Jesus. Are you kidding me? Any other way, right? The peace of the Holy Spirit is beyond all of that. Discomfort and questions and maybe some fear. You know and you're knower. You know it. You either know, yes, that is what the Lord has said, and I can't get over what the Lord told me to do, or, you know, I know that's not right because now the peace is, like, leaving, and I know I've gotten into something I shouldn't have. Let the peace of the Holy Spirit act like an umpire in your heart. All right, next grouping quickly. Here we go. What's the next one? Number six, who's speaking? Dawn or Renee? All of you? All of you together, all right? Just say it loud. Yes, and Joseph. Yes. Ooh, now this one's good.
The next one is supplying names.
Okay.
Are we thinking it is?
It's one. You guys have it right on the first one. Don't read too much into it. Yes, wisdom. So wisdom, and I even wrote dot, 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 just use wisdom. Oh, my goodness. You couldn't figure that out? You needed some wisdom. Let's stick with just the wisdom, because that's the one I want to stick with on that. What else? What happens if we... We get the wisdom through his word. Yes. What happens if we go against wisdom sometimes?
And have doubt and lack of belief.
When we doubt. I call a lack of wisdom and making decisions by foolishness a stupid pain. That's when you run into stupid pain. That's what I call it. Bad, wasted pain. Should have never happened. It wasn't God just trying to teach you something. Now he's going to use it for his glory because he works all things together for good by God. But you should have never had to go through that in the first place because that was a lack of wisdom and it was just a stupid decision. And now you have consequences for it. But God loves you and he's going to make something great out of it. Amen. Bless God. Okay. But wisdom. Listen. Wisdom will protect you. Wisdom, God uses wisdom to speak to you. Wisdom is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, actually. Wisdom. Wisdom. Like, do the wise thing. Sometimes we're waiting for this handwritten sign on the wall with God's finger, and God's like, is it the wise thing to sell? I can't even get into some of the stuff I've heard people say. All right, which one did you guys have, Brian? Number eight. Who had number seven? You guys are seven over here. I remember now. Gina, Jen, what did you guys get over here? Who's speaking? Gina?
Okay, God spoke to Peter in this passage, and he used supernatural interventions.
Yeah, the exact words. Supernatural interventions.
Yeah, we asked.
I'm so proud of you guys.
You could have let her believe it.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, and he thought he was dreaming, but he still obeyed what God had sent the angel to tell him to do. A lot of times, you know, God uses this method by performing miracles. He does it through, he may even send an angel, and we just don't realize that's who it is. A lot of things that can interfere with that is doubt. Doubting that that's an angel, doubting that that's a miracle, you know. Fear of what people might say if you say, well, this happened to me, or, you know, and, you know, like she said, we don't storytell anymore like they used to. We don't go town to town and tell the story of our miracles or anything like that. Or we don't even have time to go to our neighbor. So
true. Really good job. Really good job on that. So, so, so good. All right, next group, you have, who's speaking? Come on, Brian. All right. What did you guys find out here? And then after he says that one, I have a scripture I'll give to you guys that go with the next two. Go ahead.
Okay, so what we found, there's kind of duality here, but our main focus was on how God was speaking with Joseph, and he was doing this through his dreams or casting a vision for Joseph of what was to come. Joseph really responded by being happy and joyful with what he was receiving, and wanted to immediately like share it with his brothers and with his dad and his mom. And things that we saw that would, and how God uses it today, is he uses it today in casting visions and showing us something through dreams or having us dream and hope for something that may be coming in the future. The example that kind of popped in mind, other than the one that was here at the table, which I'm not going to mention, is just how Pastor Jeremy talks about visions and stuff prior to changing the name to Timber Creek and the vision that he has for the church here. And then things that kind of get in the way are just pretty much just setting it aside, saying, oh, well, it's just a dream. That's not what really needs to happen, or misinterpreting what the dream actually meant, and or just simply forgetting about it. Okay. So...
Who has number nine? Number nine. Now, these two go together. He referred to both of them. They have dreams, and we are out of time. I wish I could give you guys more details on some of this. I can always say some of it next time. But, you know, not every dream is a dream from God. Can I give you a litmus test of how you know your dream is a dream from God? Number one, test the fruit. Same way you test the voice, you test the fruit of your dream. A dream that makes that you have a demonic presence when you wake up and it's super scary and it haunts you for what days. That is not the Lord, you guys. Come on. Like, I'm serious. I've had so many people, I had this dream and they're freaked out and like things are popping out of their body in the dream and God's trying. Like, you guys really have got to test the fruit and see what the fruit of the Spirit is with that dream. And honestly, you've got to take that to prayer and ask for confirmation. You don't want to base life decisions off of a dream you had, but you also need to know God does speak to us through our dreams. He can do that. It ties into this one, which is visions. I'm going to give you a scripture, Joel 2. We have got to go. Holy cow, it's so late. Joel 2, 28 to 29 says this. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So dreams are when you're asleep. Visions are kind of like, it's like a dream, but you're awake. Just want to make sure everyone understands there's a difference between a dream and a vision. All right? Make sure we understand that. I can't get into all that tonight, but there is a difference. All right? Megan, what do you guys have over here?
You're going to ask me. Okay, so we had Acts 10, 1 through 22, and Cornelius got a vision that an angel came to him and told him to go to Joppa and get Peter. Yep. Peter also had a vision, and basically Cornelius responded right away. And the Bible actually says that he got two of his own servants and a devout soldier, which means that he placed a very high importance on this vision. Mm-hmm. And Peter, bless his little soul, he kind of wrestled with God a little bit. God had to show him the vision three times, actually, for him to even kind of start to receive it. What can interfere with our ability to hear this is kind of like how the Pharisees get bound up in legalism. We, too, can get bound up in legalism, the way things are supposed to be, how we feel like they're supposed to be. And then also just staying in our comfort zone when God is calling us to move out through visions or through dreams, a lot of times we pull back on that. Good. I'm That's preaching
so
to
good.
Myself.
That's so good. Because visions and dreams are often prophetic in nature. They show what is coming ahead. Last but definitely not least, we've got this table right here. Jeremiah, bring it home.
All right. We have 1 Samuel 3, 2 through 14. This is God speaking to Samuel. He's laying down in the evening, and God's coming to him. And he speaks to him numerous times, and Samuel keeps getting up and going to Eli. He's been with Eli. Samuel's mom gave him to the Lord, dedicated him to the Lord, and he's been living with Eli in the temple. And at this point, Samuel does not know the Lord's voice, does not know the Lord, hasn't had an experience with the Lord. So the way he spoke to him was audibly. So he thought that Eli was actually the one that was calling him. And so he would get up, go over to Eli, wake Eli up probably. And Eli said, go back to bed, lay down, that's God. And he finally realized that it was God speaking to him. So it was an audible voice. What was his response? His response initially was confusion or ignorance. It says in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So when God is speaking to him audibly, of course he didn't recognize it as God's voice because he didn't have a personal experience with God. So how could he know it was God's voice? So he assumed it was another man's voice. And so it was first ignorance and confusion. But when Eli said, hey, it's probably God speaking to you, he understood, and he immediately heard the next time, and then God was able to convey what he wanted to speak to Samuel. How does God use this specific method to speak to us today? That would be very hard, and it's very subjective, and I can't say that God never spoke to you audibly, but we do have record in Acts, I believe chapter 9, that Paul was heard an audible voice on his road to Damascus. And so so we do have record. And we know Jesus, God spoke to Jesus audibly. So we do have record in the New Testament. What can interfere with our ability to hear God when he uses this method? Well, it says it here in verse 7. If we don't know the Lord, if we don't have a personal experience with God, and we don't know his word, how do we know if it's him speaking to us? So.
Very good. Excellent. I love that you got mine. Was Acts chapter 9 was the verse I was going to give. Very, very good. We're going to close with just a couple of things. Courtney's going to run up here real quick. What I wanted to do is talk about what we do after God speaks. I'm out of time on that, Court. So I'm going to let Courtney go over that at the beginning of class next week because that is very important. Now, all of you need to come back for that for real. What do you do after you hear from God? Yes. Sure, I'd be happy to. I definitely can do that. Are we ready? I'm going to list the big 10. I'm going to list them in my words. Number one, the word. His word will never lie to you. Number two, his character. Number three, Christian leadership. I have more words, but I'm giving you my abbreviated version. Number four, are you guys with me? The activity of God, or lack thereof. The activity of God, or lack thereof. Number five, the peace of the Holy Spirit. Number six, wisdom. Am I going too fast? You guys hanging with me? Number seven, supernatural intervention. Number eight, dreams. Number nine, visions. And number 10, an audible voice. An audible voice. All right? So next week, we're going to start with what do we do after we hear from God. Courtney's going to bring it home with just a couple of things that we do need to go over real fast and we'll be dismissed. I hope that's helpful. I know I could get up here and preach and all that. But Grow 2 is not just about a talking head behind a pulpit. It's getting you guys. You were stretched tonight. For some of you, that was not easy, and I didn't want it to be, all right? So know that this feeling is that I gave you 50 pounds instead of 40. It's supposed to feel a little uncomfortable and awkward. Don't give up on it. Keep using soap. Keep digging into God's word. Courtney.
All right, guys, if you want to go to the last page, we're going to go over your homework just real quick. I know all of you guys can read, so I'm not going to read every line of this to you, but I'm going to hit the highlights. First of all, we have another scripture for you guys to memorize, Romans 3:23. It's a great one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's easy. No excuse to not memorize that one. It's an important one to know. So memorize that verse. Write it down. Memorize it. Number two, this really ties into our teaching. We want you to, in your journals, make two columns. On one side, we want you to write my prayer or question for God. On the other side, write God's reply. We want you to choose three things throughout this week that are questions that you have for God or requests that you have for him. Write those down and date them. And then we want you to write down when you get God's reply, his answer to those things. It may be this week. It may be next month. But write that down. It's so important to have those things written down so that we see how God responds to us, how he's moving in our lives. And then the third thing, continue with the Bible reading. We're reading John 11 through 15 this week. And make sure that you're continuing to apply soap each and every time that you read. Pick one thing that stands out to you in your reading. Just a reminder, make sure that you check in there at your table if you haven't already. Think about a way that you could serve at Easter. You don't have to sign up this week, but if you want to go home and talk to your spouse or think about it a little bit, we will have those sign-up opportunities next week. If you missed anything, please go back to get notes for any weeks that you haven't been here, and we will see you guys next week.